Less than two decades ago, a dogged prospector found what he was looking for in Canada's vast, frozen, inhospitable Northwest. He found diamonds, a lot of them. Today, Canada is the third largest producer of diamonds by value in the world. NPR's Jackie Northam traveled to the Northwest Territories, where the diamond industry is booming.
It's hard not to feel awed by the natural beauty of Canada's Northwest Territories. The colors here are intense, from the opaque white of the tundra to the deep cobalt blue of the seemingly endless sky. The Northwest Territories stretch up to the Arctic Circle, covering nearly 500,000 miles. It gets cold, real cold.
Minus 40 would be pretty common up here. We do get minus 50. You know, the saving grace up here generally is if it's minus 50, you don't have a wind. But minus 50 is still minus 50. It's cold.
That's Tom Hofer, who has spent a lot of time in this area in recent years. He's the communications director for Diavik Diamond Mines, one of three multinational mines that have opened up in the Northwest Territories over the past 10 years. The diamonds have drawn many big names to this remote corner of the earth, Tiffany's and De Beers among them. This diamond boom may never have happened if it weren't for one stubborn prospector named Chuck Fipke.
Chuck's been described as a driven guy. He had an idea. He believed in it.
Mike Vadek with the Chamber of Mines says Fipke crisscrossed the frozen hinterland for more than a decade searching for diamonds and borrowing heavily to pay for his bare bones operation.
They were living on beans and bacon or very close to it. His camps were known as to be sort of hardship camps, and a lot of the people that worked there were his family and friends from the business, and nobody else would put up with it.
Finally, in the late autumn of 1991, just as all his money and goodwill had run out, Fipke found diamonds. And his find kicked off the biggest staking rush ever seen in North America, says Yellowknife Mayor Gordon Van Tegum. Thousands of prospectors swarmed the area in the neighboring territory of Nunavut, laying claims for just pennies an acre. Van Tegum says the local lumber yards ran out of wood because of the number of claim stakes needed.
Basically, all of the Northwest Territories in Nunavut was staked. There were helicopters going all over the place. I was a banker at the time. There were people trying to finance more and more and more helicopters and airplanes and things.
It's one thing to stake a claim. It's another matter to actually get to the diamonds in these parts. There are strict environmental controls, and diamond mining companies need to carry out separate negotiations with about five Aboriginal groups who live on the land. Some native groups have worked out deals guaranteeing extended education programs and contracts for providing services to the mines. Another challenge is the diamond mines are in the middle of nowhere. Before they opened, there was no infrastructure, no communications, electricity, no airport. Diavik had to drain a lake and build a dike around its mine. Diavik's Hofer says every year a 200-mile ice highway, the width of a football field, is built over frozen lakes and land from the city of Yellowknife to the mines.
We have 2 months of the year to haul in all of the materials that you see here to build these mines, as well as all of the materials, supplies, and equipment and that we need to operate these mines every year.
Over the past 5 years, more than 40 million carats have been pulled from the Diavik mines alone. Large trucks, some the size of a two-story house, move tons of ore, trying to get to kimberlite, a volcanic rock which sometimes contains diamonds. It's taken to a processing plant nearby and run through crushers to separate it from the diamonds. Inside the plant, the diamonds zoom by on a series of conveyor belts. Security is tight. One of the rules is no one is allowed to pick up anything off the floor.
If you notice, the next floor is all screened in now and padlocked. And that's the reason. Now you can tell there's obviously more wealth right now contained in that area.
After the diamonds are separated, they're shipped by plane to Yellowknife. Yellowknife may be a town of less than 20,000 people, but it has a very busy airport and a new runway industry, diamond cutting. The government mandated that 10% of all the diamonds taken from its mines must be cut and polished in the region. So today, at the end of the Yellowknife Airport's runway, is Diamond Row, a series of buildings where artisans, working for jewelers like Tiffany's, turn the rough stones into sparkling gems.
This is coming into the main production area. You can see automatic polishing machines over on this side.
Chris Ward is the plant director of Laurelton Diamonds, which is owned by Tiffany's. One of the Tiffany diamond cutters watches intently as a machine slowly shapes a rough diamond. The stone will pass through the hands of 10 different experts, says Ward.
This is a diamond impregnated wheel that's cutting the gem diamond. You can see from the graphics where the final stone is going to lie.
Ward says the employees use computers, but he says there is no machine that can get diamond facets to meet at a perfect point or to make them as perfectly smooth as a human can. But that takes years of experience, and when Canada's diamond industry started up, there was, still is, a shortage of workers with that expertise.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start polishing the stone. So I just hold it down on my scape, which looks like a record. That's spinning at 3,500 RPMs.
Next door at the Arslanian Cutting Works, Jen Pilon holds a diamond loop close to her eye and peers at a 1/2-carat cut diamond. Pilon is the first certified female polisher in Canada. She's surrounded by male co-workers, mostly from Armenia. The diamond cutting companies have brought in experts from all over the world to work in their plants, which is costly. Most of the world's diamonds are cut and polished in places such as India and China for a fraction of what it costs in Canada.
When your costs are 10 times more expensive to manufacture, you have to be very creative in order to survive.
Bob Bees, the director of Arslanian Cutting Works, says that because of the high cost, it won't work on any rough stone less than a carat. And it's highlighting the fact that the stones are not blood diamonds. Each gem is given a serial number and a government certificate that it was mined, cut, and polished in Canada. And there are laser branding microscopic images of polar bears or maple leaves on the gem.
Canada just happens to be a good selling point for all diamonds. We have good labor laws here. We're not hiring children to work in our diamond factories. People know when they buy a Canadian diamond, they know it's not a conflict diamond.
B says he'd like to see better marketing for the diamonds, but he says at this point, his company is already having trouble keeping up with the demand from its largest client base, Canadians. Jackie Northam, NPR News.